Hello, friends. How's it going? Welcome to the podcast. Before we get started with our show today, let me remind you about a couple partners of the podcast. First up, Prepped Ready Meals. Prepped and Ready, they offer healthy meals delivered straight to your door. All you have to do is pop them in the microwave. They're good to go. They deliver in all of Metro Atlanta area. They just partnered with a fitness app called Fit Genie to make deliveries even easier. Go to PreppedReadyMeals.com. Use code BINGE10 at checkout for 10% off your order. That's BINGE10 for 10% off your order. Everybody loves healthy meals. Everybody loves meal planning. Well, now you can do it all in one. Go check these guys out. Support them again one more time. BINGE10 at checkout. PreppedReadyMeals.com. Our other friends are our friends over at Rebel Boudoir. Have you ever wanted that boudoir session and needed the little nudge to finally do it? Well, now you do. Our listeners will get an automatic discount of $100 off their session fee when they book a session with Jillian at Rebel Boudoir. These sessions make an awesome, unique gift for your wedding day, anniversary, birthday, or it's just an excuse to rock that bod you've got. Go check out Jillian's work for reference on her Instagram at Rebel Boudoir or her website, rebelboudoirstudio.com. Mention us in your inquiry to get that discount. It's a great investment and an experience you definitely won't forget. And now, welcome to the show.
There's that beat. You know what it is. This is episode 143 of the Binge Boys podcast. I'm Matt, and I'm joined by your longtime host, Logan Lewis. Logan, how are you?
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Oh, yeah.
No how problem. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, just chilling. Happy to stepping into a new role here, just leading the conversation.
Yeah, I love to. Love to let others lead the conversation, so I will let you steer the ship. That's hard to say. Steer the ship, sir.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'll take that as a cue to jump into our first topic. Just going to run down some news stories quick, and then a little bit later on, we're going to jump into our main topics. We watched the movies Clouds and The Trial of the Chicago 7. So we'll give you a little bit of our thoughts on those. And then we'll talk about the top 10 of this week, the top 10 animated sitcoms to sort of pair against our live action sitcoms from last week. So without further ado, Logan, are you familiar with the Monster Hunter video game series?
Well, you know, Matt, funny you bring that up. I'm not really. I mean, I know of them. I know they exist. I knew when this trailer launched, when I saw it. I think the first time I saw it was actually the teaser popped up before a YouTube video I watched like last week. And I was like, okay, so they're making a Monster Hunter movie. And that was my reaction. I've never played them. Have you played them? Have you?
No, I haven't. I just know, yeah, it's one of those things I know is, I think it's kind of a bigger deal in Japan. I've heard some of my friends say it's just kind of grindy here, or my friends here in America say it's a little grindy. So just having to get the spawns you want, you just have to kill the same things over and over. But yeah, a trailer was released for the upcoming movie starring Mila Jovovich. Can you tell I practiced that?
Yes.
It looks like it's kind of a military-led action movie where they get teleported from, you know, our world to the world of monsters. I don't know if there's a more official name of it than that, but what were your thoughts on the trailer?
So I don't know about you, but I got vibes of Transformers, and I got vibes of, I don't know if you ever saw it, Kong Skull Island.
No, I didn't.
The Godzilla shared universe Kong movie that came out a few years ago, where people travel to an island that nobody's ever discovered before, and there's monsters there and giant gorillas. And I got a very similar vibe here, although you did say that they get teleported to another world, and they kind of show their in the trailer, there's like these like relics almost that at the right time they teleport, you know, this caravan of looked like maybe six soldiers in Afghanistan, it looks like, maybe, or Egypt. Yeah. Who knows? I'm going to assume that it takes place in present day. So yep. It could have been Iraq or Afghanistan or something. Well, either way, it takes them to this monster world. And honestly, man, I think I'm going to go into this movie. I'm sure I'm going to see it. I'm going to go into this movie expecting very, very little.
Yeah. I think that's the move.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a mindless, fun monster movie, which is what I like to see. Like when you go and see movies, like when you see movies like Godzilla or King Kong or or Transformers, even, you don't go expecting an Oscar worthy film. You go for mindless popcorn, get your buddies, maybe sneak a beer or two into the theater and just have a good time watching it.
Yep. Yep.
Is that the vibe that you got from the trailer as well?
Yeah, the only lot of good comparisons there, a lot of touch points hit with like Transformers. The only one I think you missed that I thought of was Pacific Rim.
Yes.
You ever saw that one? Yeah. Yes. Just the teleporting, the giant monsters. But I really liked Pacific Rim. So if they can hit like half the energy of those movies, then I'll be happy.
Actually, believe it or not, never seen Pacific Rim.
Really?
I know. Every single time I bring it up, I get trashed for it. I heard the sequel wasn't as good, but I've been told by many people that the first one is a damn good time, similar to the vibes that I listed earlier about an awesome monster fighting movie.
Definitely. Yeah, I think you'd really enjoy it. Maybe that'd be something to hit with the run through the sideshow of the Binge Boys podcast.
Nice tie in there.
I missed it at the top, so I had to work it in somehow. Speaking of working in, not my best transition, but it looks like they're going back and adding a little bit more to the saga of the TV show Dexter. They're gonna be doing a 10 episode limited series after the finale 6 years ago about the hero serial killer, I guess is the best way to call it. Logan, have you watched Dexter? I think we talked about this. Maybe not.
I think we briefly touched on it when Emily asked us if we had watched it so she could have posted like maybe our review of the series when they announced this. No, I have not seen the full series. I will say that Dexter has been for the past, I want to say, 2 months, a show that I have gone back to and watched an episode or three or four for like a week and then kind of stopped because like something hot came out. And Dexter, no offense to those big Dexter fans out there, it's not hot right now. I mean, it might be hot now because of the recent announcement of the continuation. But no, I haven't seen it. It's not a show so far. I'm a season in. I think I'm on season 2, episode 6 at the moment. And it's fine. I haven't hit that point where I'm like, oh my God, I got to watch this show. My roommate, he's a huge Dexter fan.
Right.
And he keeps pushing me to try to watch it. So it's on the back burner. We'll talk about it more when we hit the what we're watching segment at the end of the show. But yeah, I mean, what about you? Have you ever been a big Dexter guy?
I think kind of like you, but I think I only gave it, you know, the one try where I got, you know, 4 episodes in. It was like, you know, that's not the best like thing, but it's like, I could see what the show was about. I could see sort of the beats it was hitting. But I'm just like curious about how this is going to work because I know the ending was really disappointing for a lot of people. And I just wonder if this does work out, will other shows that had disappointing endings, Game of Thrones, potentially go back and use it as a just try and like another short season as like a redo?
That's a good question. I want to pose this question to you. Do you think that this show do you think that Dexter's getting a continuation because the fans weren't satisfied with the end? Or do you think it's Showtime, I think, is the producer of Dexter.
I think so.
Seeing that shows like Breaking Bad with the Aaron Paul movie, or you know, Walking Dead with its spinoff shows? Do you think it's seeing, okay, a lot of companies and production companies are doing reboots, spinoffs, continuations? Do you think this is them milking that because they know people want to see more Dexter? Or do you think they really truly have more story to tell?
I would probably go with the first, that it's kind of them going with the established precedent of just sort of going back to the well on it. I mean, entertainment's been more and more sequels and remakes just as the years go on. And especially now, when I feel like budgets are probably shrunk down from where they expected them to be, they're not going to want to, you know, greenlight a brand new 22 episode season of a brand new show. They're going to want to just use an established property, you know, same showrunners and writers, it says here, from the previous show, and just cash in on the goodwill that they have, with maybe under the guise of, you know, knowing that there's more story to tell or improvements that could be made.
Sure. I agree.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of telling stories, hell, just like all these movies are,
the transitions here are gold.
Yeah. That's what you're getting here. So Ridley Scott's making a movie about Napoleon, and Joaquin Phoenix has been cast in the role of the famously short Frenchman. I know Joker was a big movie last year, and Her was, you know, with the year it came out. So Joaquin Phoenix is definitely probably a good choice to play such a famous figure. Logan, do you have strong thoughts about Joaquin stepping into the role of Napoleon?
I'll say this. I know Joaquin Phoenix looks at his opportunities very carefully. You know, even when he's interviewed and talked about the Joker, he wasn't super into the idea of doing a comic book movie, but he was more attached to studying the psyche of what makes the Joker so crazy. So I trust that he looks at this. Well, obviously Ridley Scott's attached, so that's probably an attractive piece for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The movie is supposed to apparently be called Kitbag, Kitbag. I'm looking at an article from Deadline here. And I don't know. It's it says here that the film's title is derived from the saying, quote, "There is a general's staff hidden in every soldier's kit bag." And okay, apparently the film is a original and personal look at Napoleon's origins and his swift, ruthless climb to emperor. So I don't know. I trust Joaquin will absolutely knock it out of the park, especially with, again, Ridley Scott attached to direct. So I'm very intrigued by this. I assume we won't see anything for quite some time on this, but very interested to see how they take this on. Ridley Scott, I thought, was a big sci-fi director, so seeing that he's attached to do almost a, I don't know if it's a biopic, but
a historical, yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird move to me, but hey, Ridley Scott and Joaquin Phoenix, it sounds like a pretty good combo to me. What about you? What do you feel?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just kind of interested. I'm interested until I hear I shouldn't be, you know, whatever reasons that may be. But it looks like that is going to be a heavy hitter whenever it comes out. We kept movie delays off the news stories this time, probably for our own sake. So no need to do that. But something that we seem to talk about every week and did not leave off the rundown is Sony did not deny, when confronted with the rumors of additional former Spider-Men, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, being asked or being cast in upcoming MCU Spider-Man 3. The direct quote from Sony when asked about these rumors were, quote, "Those rumored castings are not confirmed," unquote.
So this is gonna happen. I wanted to leave this in. I'll just say this. Binge boys and girls, like the movie delays, I think this is the last time I'm going to cover a Spider-Man headline unless it's a confirmed case. We've gotten Doctor Strange rumors and other Spider-Man universe rumors and multiverse rumors. Usually where there's smoke, there's fire.
For sure.
I'm thinking that they definitely casted Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. If Sony wanted to steer people away, they would have just straight up been like, no, that's not happening. We're not doing that.
Right.
But they just said that's not confirmed. Mm-hmm. That's like somebody going up to Tim Cook or at Apple and saying, there's the iPhone 12 is going to launch this year. Right. And he's like, that's not confirmed. Dude, a new iPhone comes out every year.
Every year. Yeah.
It's going to happen. So man, if this happens, I'm going to compare this to Endgame level hype where Doctor Strange opens all the portals there at the end and all the heroes come through. If I get to see Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland standing side by side, I might cry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'd be awesome.
Do you feel similarly? Are you really at this point, based off of all of the rumors we've talked about, are you really attached to this idea?
I'm putting a lot of stock in it. I feel like even if it wasn't Sony's original plan to do this, just all the rumors and stuff surrounding it, you know, big podcasters like us, you know, speaking it into existence, you know, they'd be stupid to not give the people at least a little bit of what they want. It doesn't even have to be them fighting together. Just as long as like the three Spider-Men are in the movie together, I feel like that'd be enough to satisfy all us fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear at this point that Sony and Marvel like working together. I mean, if they didn't, they wouldn't have signed that newer Spider-Man deal that said that Tom Holland gets to be in the Avengers movies.
Right.
So if and hey, those original Spider-Man movies, both Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, those are all technically all owned by Sony. So if they want to, they damn well could do this. So I guess, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait. However, I did see something on Twitter the other day from a source that's usually correct about these things, that there's some kind of CinemaCon or something in December of this year. It's like kind of a low-key event. It's not like Comic-Con or E3. Okay. It's kind of a lower key thing, but they said that Spider-Man 3 footage will be shown.
Okay.
So we may get, I doubt they're going to come right out the bag and show Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, but they could at least allude to it. Maybe even have Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland, and Andrew Garfield all like be at the event.
Yeah.
And that would just confirm it, you know, something small, like just give us a little head nod. Just
right, right. Don't give us these nothing quotes. Don't deny stuff or say things aren't confirmed. Maybe move in the direction of confirming a little bit. You know.
Come on.
It'll be in December. The holidays. Early December.
Hopefully we find out.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you want to get into some movie reviews, Matt?
That's what I was thinking. I was gonna put it to you, which you were wanting to talk about first.
Let's talk the hotter one. Let's talk about the trial of the Chicago 7.
Okay.
So everybody, like always, I'll spit you some facts about this film real quick. This film was released last weekend on Netflix. It's a drama historical thriller, I guess. That's what IMDb lists it at. It's about 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's rated R. You will realize that a couple minutes in. And the story is read as the story of 7 people on trial stemming from various charges surrounding the uprising at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Illinois. Directed by Aaron Sorkin, written by Aaron Sorkin, and all-star cast here. Michael yep. Keaton, Alex Sharp, Sacha Baron Cohen, Eddie Redmayne. Really Joseph, a stellar cast here.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Just a hell of a lot of people in this movie, and I want to turn it to you first, Matt. What did you think of this thing?
So I was going in, I knew roughly the history of this event. I knew the 1968 Democratic National Convention was just kind of a mess. Bobby Kennedy assassinated before it. Just this, it was the 60s. So it was just really difficult for everyone involved.
I don't want to cut you off real quick, but I will interject there. I did dig the opening credits on how they kind of set the stage, showing like, okay, so MLK just got assassinated.
Yeah.
Kennedy just got assassinated. They kind of paint the picture of the Vietnam War, showing how many troops are going overseas. I guess it's fair to say that there's going to be spoilers ahead. Although, yeah, as well put by Binge Boys run through host Megan, you can't spoil something that's already happened in history.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, however, if personally speaking, I didn't know much. I mean, I knew about the general United States feeling about the Vietnam War and the protests and riots that occurred during, but I didn't know the extent. But sorry, I cut you off. Keep going.
No, you're good. But and that was a point I wanted to hit, that what it does really well is setting the stage of just sort of how a courtroom drama around this event like could take place, and then sort of tells the story kind of in a different order, because like the main event of the movie is the trial, but really the incident the trial's about is actually revealed closer to like the climax of the movie, which I thought was something that was really unique and interesting. And I feel like the movie was probably finished a while ago and they had it in the can, and then with a lot of the protests and uprising earlier in the year, they saw that this as a really good movie to release sort of at this this moment in history that we're in. So I really liked it. I thought there was some moments where it was a little over the top, a little bit cheesy, but I just think it was a movie about a diverse sort of ensemble cast where each individual could shine, and especially in a historical setting, I think that's difficult to do sometimes. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm a big history nut. I love history. I love history movies. However, this one didn't grip me personally as much as I thought it was going to. Maybe I went in with super high expectations because I heard about all the buzz the movie had gotten. Megan, to bring her up again, she had been begging me for a couple days to watch it. She's, you have to watch it. You have to watch it. You have to watch it. And I did. And let me just say this first off. Number one, Aaron Sorkin makes really good history movies. He made Vice. I don't know if you ever saw Vice, Matt.
No, but I really want to. I love Christian Bale as well.
Excellent, excellent movie. I will say that this movie is brilliantly acted. And yeah, I mean, like, everybody in this cast deserves a nomination. Sacha Baron Cohen, obviously a standout, as well as Eddie Redmayne. He did amazing. The guy who played the judge.
Oh, my. Yeah, the judge.
The judge. We could talk about him in a minute.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt kind of does what Joseph Gordon-Levitt does.
Yeah.
He's great, but, you know, nothing super duper stand out from him. I wish I remembered the character's name and the actor's name, but the guy who played the black gentleman that was under fire.
Bobby Seale. Yeah.
Bobby Seale.
Yeah.
That guy deserves a nomination.
I came away wanting to learn about the real life Bobby Seale because of just the character portrayed on screen. If it was anything like he was in real life, then
you can sense just how the actors portray these people. Like the amount of how passionate these people were about their cause, mm-hmm, like the fact that they openly would like scream at the judge, disrupt the service to get their point across. And yeah, they'll take a couple, what was it?
Contempt of court. Yeah.
Contempt of court. That's it. I think at the end there, Bobby had 24 counts of contempt of court.
I think that was the defendant's lawyer.
Oh, yes.
Kutrow,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seale, his were decreased because his trial got changed. I feel like that's the only way he didn't end up with just that many.
Yeah. So that's what I can say there. This movie takes 90% of it takes place in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for like a high speed movie about protests and riots, you won't get that. There's a couple riot and protest scenes. Ones that I found pretty engaging also, though.
Yeah.
There's the one in particular kind of towards the end of the movie where it shows the one dude getting bashed by the police baton, and it was like, oh my god.
Yeah, it doesn't have much that gives it that R rating, but when it does go for it, it really goes for it. It's really brutal.
Yeah, kind of hard to watch in some scenes.
By design, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah. I think they really, and like you said earlier, I think with the times that we're in, with all the riots and protests that we see nowadays, this movie couldn't have been timed better.
For sure.
Almost scary. Like, I think you're right, though. I think they had it in the hopper, and I think this was supposed to be released in theaters, but Netflix, I think, saw the opportunity of the fact that theaters aren't open, and they probably pitched to whatever company had backed this, Warner Brothers, maybe. I assume, yeah. Warner Brothers, because...
DreamWorks.
DreamWorks. That's right. Sorry. And I assume they just pitched them, listen, give us... like, here's an ass load of money. Let us put this movie on our
star-studded, very relevant historical drama. You're getting it.
I gave it a 3 out of 5 only because I wasn't as super drawn in. But again, excellent writing, brilliant acting. I'm going to be pissed if nobody, at least a couple of them deserve nominations.
Right.
Some brutal scenes. So I'll give it a 3 out of 5. I didn't hate it. I don't regret watching it.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my final words. What are yours, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, what really just knocked it from a 5 out of 5 to a 4 out of 5 was there was a little bit of cheesiness kind of like right at the end. Like there was a literal slow clap during what was sort of undercut what was a really like powerful moment. And also during that, it felt like the villain of the movie, the judge, basically turned into the antagonist of a 90s cereal commercial, just kind of a very cartoonish version of himself, which really kind of took me out of it. But then it had one of my favorite tropes in a based on real life movie of, you know, saying where people all ended up, you know, some good endings, some bad endings. But yeah, overall, I think it was a really good watch, a really important watch. And yeah, it was definitely worth the time put in.
Yeah, I can agree. I'll touch there on the judge too. Brilliantly acted. That you from the second the movie starts, you think that dude's a total douchebag, total racist, total everything, misogynist, just a shitty human being. And the actor, I wish I knew his name, really makes you believe that.
Yeah. No, so, he was one of the, I think he's the one him or the guy who played Bobby Seale should get the performance nods for this. Just,
yes.
Two different ends of the spectrum, but two just
really
nailed in performances.
Yeah, they really sold their character to the point where I almost felt like I was watching a documentary.
Definitely.
But yeah, there you go. The Trials of Chicago 7, available on Netflix now. Stream it. We'll bounce over to the other movie review we have today, and that's Clouds. So I wasn't aware of this film coming out until I searched the streaming services in hopes of finding something that that we would be able to that would be able to cover today, and I found Clouds. So Clouds is a Disney Plus. I don't know if it's a Disney Plus original. I know just it was a Disney movie. I don't know if they planned on putting it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But it is on Disney Plus exclusively. It's a true story also, based on young musician Zach Sobek. I forget how to pronounce it. Sorry, RIP. he discovers that his cancer is terminal, leaving him just a few months to live. With limited time, he follows his dream and makes an album, unaware that he will become a viral music phenomenon. This was directed by Justin Baldoni, written by Cara Holden, and it stars a bunch of people that you probably haven't heard of unless you've watched Disney Channel. A few of these were Disney Channel stars. Madison Eisman. She also had a role in the newest Annabelle flick. Mm-hmm. As well as Sabrina Carpenter. Finn Argus, I think, played the lead role. I'll throw this one over to you again, Matt. What'd you think of Clouds?
Well, just to add to the list, Lil Ray Howard, also known as the best friend from Get Out. He was pretty good in that. He was one of my favorite characters.
Damn it, that's who it was. The whole time I was like, where have I seen this dude?
Yep. Only when I saw the credits was I like, oh, there it is. You know, that's a pretty memorable name, Lil Ray Howard. But hey. Yeah. So my initial takeaway was that this was partially influenced by Disney Plus, since it was one of the, if you liked this, you'll also like this. It was a sort of a combination of The Fault in Our Stars and A Star is Born, sort of like the Disney Channel version of those movies.
That's combined. A great comparison. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah. I was proud to come up with that myself. I think it was a solid movie, a little bit of everything. It had like some happy moments, had a lot of sad moments, had some music, romance, friendship. So it did a lot, but I don't think it did one thing exceptionally well. I felt like it kind of, its tone was a little bit all over the place. And I think that's also probably realistic for that kind of situation. It seems like a lot of scenes would go from being kind of, you know, jokey or whatever, and then all of a sudden like one realization was had by either Zach, the guy with cancer, or someone in his family just kind of realizing something that he wasn't going to be around for much longer. But so yeah, I think it was a 3 out of 5 for me. Just a little bit too Disney, and some of the scenes just didn't seem to go anywhere. But I think you were a little bit warmer on it. I think you were a 4.
Yeah, 4 out of 5. So I give it a 4 out of 5. I personally am a sucker for movies that have the heart, that pull on your heartstrings. Especially movies that are based on true stories. They really get me going. I'm an emotional boy. I cried in this movie. I'll be straight up and honest about it. Matt hit it on the head. You get a little bit of everything. There's a lot of happy moments. There's a lot of moments that are going to make you go, oh, and real sad. There's a couple of goosebumps moments. You get them all. You got a fine cast. Nobody stands out particularly. I think you said that as well. There's not really one aspect of the movie that stands out over the others. I just found it to be a really good, entertaining watch. Within the first 20 minutes, I watched it with my girlfriend, and I looked at her and I said, I don't know, this might, like you said, this might be a little too Disney, for my liking. But I gave it more time and I watched it. You know, I started out playing on my phone, kind of scrolling through Twitter, watching it. But by the end of it, I was just watching the movie straight up. And I really enjoyed myself. I didn't hate it. If I want to make any kind of critiques, they kind of drag it out a little bit. And I agree with Matt. He hit that nail on the head as well of too Disney. There's a few tone problems with, like, this is supposed to be a really sad movie, but like now they're joking about how he's gonna die in 2 weeks, and it's like, even though he's the one making the jokes, it still comes off like, man, we get it, the guy's gonna die, let's move on. Like, it's,
yeah, I don't know, I feel bad critiquing a character of a real person who's now deceased, but I felt like they never, like, he, like, everything was a joke to him. And that's, you know, I mean, he's a boy in high school, so that's probably the way he's dealing with his emotions. But I was just like, All right. Someone's going to like call you out on it. I know you're terminally ill, but.
Yeah. I went and listened to the song, you know, the song Clouds that the guy actually made, and they sound identical. I don't know if it was the real, I don't know if he was really singing.
I don't think he was.
Oh, that upsets me. That might dock it down to a three.
Really?
I mean, I really like, I really truly love it. Like in movies like The Star is Born, where Bradley Cooper like took the time to learn how to play the guitar and sing. Like Star is Born was a 5 out of 5 for me. I thoroughly loved that movie. And still do. And this Matt hit all the great points. It's a mixture of The Star is Born and The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah.
Easily, no doubt about it. So yeah, I'll sum it up there and say this is a solid family movie.
That's a good point. Yeah.
A solid watch. This is something my mom probably would have dragged us to the theater to see. It would have been a good family movie. So if you have some free time and maybe you want a movie to watch with your significant other, this is a good one. It's more lighthearted. Given the circumstances, it's a more lighthearted movie than The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yeah.
There's a lot of yelling in that movie. There's not much yelling here.
Not really any. I think maybe just the parents between each other a little bit.
I did enjoy that aspect. I didn't see, they always focus on the kid that's dying, but they never show like the parents' emotions. Mm-hmm. They kind of dive into that a little bit. How the wife says, "You haven't looked at me since the diagnosis," and he says, "How the hell could I? Our kid's dying. The last thing I'm thinking about is making love to you right now." Like
so. I think I cracked the case on why that scene got put in. So the movie was based off a memoir written by the mom in like the 12 weeks, like right after he died. So just like the memory of your child dying is like crazy fresh. And you write this, you know, book that gets picked up and turned into a movie. So it's just like kind of crazy. So it's not surprising that sort of her an insight into sort of the grown-up side of it is brought in. That was a part I thought was a little bit interesting because I didn't see it, like, I don't know, it's another one that it was like sort of a storyline that didn't really like go anywhere. I appreciate that it was included when it's often left out, but yeah, it seemed a little bit leading to much.
Yeah, I can agree. So I think that's where we can leave it. The Clouds, again, on Disney Plus streaming. This is not one that you will have to pay $30 for. You can stream this for free, no worries. So if you'd like a movie like what we described, go check it out. If not, then maybe just tune in to one of these sitcoms we're about to talk about.
Oh, there you go.
How about that? How about that for a transition? So y'all know that the dealio, we go through our top 10. If we have discussion, then I guess we never mentioned the fact that Mitch isn't here. But Mitch, Mitch better late than never. Mitch went out of town earlier than he expected, so he missed tonight's episode. But regardless, shouts to you, Mitch. But anyway, you know the top 10 rule. We've done it 1,000 times, more like 4 or 5, but you get it.
Yep.
Matt, we're as you covered, we're kind of hitting the opposite side of the aisle. Last week we did our live action sitcoms, and this week we're doing our animated. I will say, when I looked up animated sitcoms, I was surprised at the list that I was given. Like, I didn't expect like SpongeBob to be a sitcom, but
yeah,
by definition, I think a sitcom says like a 30-minute comedy.
I found that list as well, or maybe I just copied it from yours, but I'm like, well, if SpongeBob is being counted, like that's going on there, you know, spoiler alert, sorry. But
100%, like,
yeah, definitely a wide variety. I mean, I guess I found that when looking up live action sitcoms as well. I'm like, really, that's a sitcom? Is, and I'm like, well, yep.
I guess I feel the exact same.
Yeah.
So yeah, round us out. Give me your number 10 there, Matt.
This is going to be criminally low to some people, but my number 10 is The Simpsons. It's not something I ever like dedicated myself to watching you know, the every Simpsons ever that seems to be happening constantly on FX or whatever, but just kind of one of the goats in the genre. So I felt like I had to pay it respect, and I've always found at least a few jokes that really just put me in stitches in pretty much every episode that I watched. So that'll be sort of the theme of the lower entries on my list of things that I know are great, but I may not have as strong a connection as some others. So yeah, my number 10 is The Simpsons. So where's your list starting, Logan?
I couldn't agree with your statement there, Matt. My 10 through 6 essentially is shows that I have seen enough episodes of to respect, but I haven't seen enough to be able to put them in the top 5. But
yeah,
so that's saying I'm going to get roasted for this. Rick and Morty is number 10 for me. I know. I've watched very limited amount of episodes of Rick and Morty. Again, this statement, I don't find it that hilarious yet. I'm still trying. I've got a list of shows that I'll read off here when we cover what we're watching currently. That I plan on watching. Rick and Morty is on there.
Right.
So I plan on truly going in on it. But for right now, Rick and Morty's number 10. I respect it. I know it's one of the most beloved animated sitcoms there are, even though it's only been like 3 seasons in existence. So number 9 there, Matt, what you got?
Number 9, kind of another more classic entry, King of the Hill. Not from Texas, so I can't relate to it in that, but I feel like you know, there's just a lot in there that you can relate to, even if you're not from that area or have lived in that sort of southern culture. But I just think it's really, really well written. It's sort of a good example of like using humor to not necessarily make fun of something, but to kind of comment on it, but also making fun of the parts that are, you know, worth making fun of. So yeah, King of the Hill for number 9. What's yours?
My number 9 is a weird entry, man. A lot of people are going to find that it's weird that I put this above Rick and Morty. However, Apple TV Plus launched a sitcom with the creators of Bob's Burgers. Very low-key, unheard-of show, but it's called Central Park. It's a musical sitcom, but the cast is awesome and it's genuinely funny. And the animation style is the same as Bob's Burgers. You would think it's Bob's Burgers if you didn't know otherwise. And I enjoyed the watch through of it. I think I gave the first season a 3. I know we don't do half numbers, but I would give it a 3.5 out of 5. It was a solid animated adult. It's not like raunchy, but they make adult references where you're like, look at that.
Yeah.
So that's my number 9. What you got for number 8?
Going right along with adult shows, but this is very raunchy. South Park. Again, just sort of like I said, a good idea of using humor to sort of show the ridiculousness of it, but this is South Park's usually a bit more more critical and mean-spirited towards what it thinks deserve it. And yeah, it's just again probably a little bit low for some people, but I've never, you know, made sure I was home at Thursday or whenever it would come on to watch the brand new episode as soon as it came out. But anytime it's been on, there's been at least a little bit to laugh at, or sort of being able to sort of go back. And I feel like it's a really good conversational show. Like you can ask, you know, sort of anyone in our demographic, oh, what's one of your favorite South Park episodes? And,
right.
And they'll have something to say. So
sure.
Yeah. If only to help me in my terrible awkwardness at being able to have small talk with people, South Park's been there for me.
my number 8 is on here for the respect kind of that you gave The Simpsons. And that's, again, we're just gonna repeat this message. Haven't seen enough episodes of it, but I know enough. American Dad.
Okay.
Is my number 8. I really truly want to watch American Dad, but the thing about these animated sitcoms is like I feel like I'll never get caught up. there's so many, like, isn't The Simpsons and South Park like the two most seasoned shows on television?
It's like that and SNL, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like those three and like NCIS and stuff. Like those shows have like 30 plus seasons. I feel like I'll never, even if the episodes are only 25 minutes long, I'll never get caught up on that.
No.
But American Dad, I've watched enough episodes to know that it's funny. Kind of a spinoff of Family Guy, if you would. But yeah, there's American Dad. What's your seven? Or sorry, what's your eight?
No, it's seven.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad. I was flip-flop. What's your seven?
You're good. My number seven is the first entry that that Toonami, or no, this was Adult Swim, I guess, hooked me up with, and that will continue to be a trend. The Boondocks. It was a show that I was probably a bit too young the first time I watched like a little bit of it, but just definitely a different look than a lot of stuff, sort of a combination of like an anime, but also very Southern, very sort of black. It was focused on it was made for and by, you know, black creators. And I think that that's something to be respected. And I found it just far funnier than I probably should have as a white kid from the suburbs of Chicago, but I liked what I liked. I'm not taking it back. So where's your number seven?
My number seven, similarly to what you said, South Park.
Okay.
We'll get into it more later. Tease. But I've seen enough of it to get the hype, and I love that South Park also has always like this, they're very culturally they're very current. It's a very current show.
Yeah.
It's not a show like Family Guy or The Simpsons that will like make a joke about something that's going on in real life. Like South Park has full episodes, almost like the pandemic special that I watched a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That they're very current with their content, and I admire that. So South Park is at seven. I'm sure as I watch more of it, it would rise on my list, but
for sure.
As of right now, it's a seven.
Yeah, and something else about South Park that I didn't give them credit for is sort of what you said, how just the turnaround time of their episodes, they were able to like have like, you know, parodies of the Trump Hillary debate like 3 days after it happened. Like their next episode was featured like relevant things that had happened like in that debate that they couldn't have like guessed. So just a lot of respect for that turnaround time.
Agreed. What you got for your number six, rounding out the lower half of our top tens?
Yeah. The last one of the first half is Family Guy. So, you know, same sort of thing. I think this is the phase of the list where we're starting to, where I've seen more of it. I think I've seen the first few full seasons because it was just a show that you could throw on while doing literally anything. Tune in when you can and you'll still be able to laugh. I think the cutaway gags definitely don't aren't for everybody and definitely get a little bit old after a while, but some of the ones that are a little bit more thought out and sometimes just like a bit drawn out would just always leave me in stitches. So yeah, what's the last one of your bottom five, I guess?
The Simpsons.
Okay.
I've seen a lot more episodes of The Simpsons. And also The Simpsons movie, which I think is hilarious. I love The Simpsons family. Another one that I really truly want to binge, but there's so many of them, man, that it's like it's a task. It's
yeah.
If you launch my Disney Plus watch list right now, there's only one thing on it, and it's The Simpsons. And one day I will start it. But not today. I have other sitcoms animated to run through before I run through something that's 35 seasons long. So what's your number five? What's starting out your real top favorite sitcoms that are animated?
My number five is Archer. I think it's a show that I watched a decent amount of in college. So just sort of mixes with the memories of just sort of hanging out, you know, maybe having a beverage or two while watching that. It was maybe before we went to a party or something. So just a good show for that kind of environment. And just really funny, a really unique setting for a workplace comedy that sort of hit beats of, you know, both international spy and also just annoying people at work. So just like sort of a really clever combination that hasn't really been matched in my mind since. So yeah, my number five is Archer. What about you?
My number five is Bob's Burgers. Seen quite a bit more of Bob's Burgers, really enjoy it. I'm a big fan of that animation style. Part of the reason I really digged Central Park so quickly is because I loved the kind of
the humor, the animation style
I really dig.
Okay.
So Bob's Burgers really funny. They're supposed to have a Bob's Burgers movie come out this year. I'm not sure if it got pushed back because of COVID or not, but but yeah, man, Bob's Burgers, quite funny. If you haven't seen it, I recommend checking it out. It's pretty good. Otherwise, what you got?
My next entry, number four, is Rick and Morty. So now we're getting into the repeats here. I put it a fair bit higher because I watched the first three seasons basically in a day and a half.
Wow.
And I just thought it was really clever. Again, really unique settings, especially in like a sci-fi environment. There's some others sort of in that space that I also really appreciated. So if it can get closer to animated sci-fi stuff, but have a new spin on it, which I think they do with the characters of both Rick and Morty. I think they play off each other really well. And also just Dan Harmon's sort of classic, really complicated jokes, or jokes you really have to like pay attention for or Google like four different things to like understand, or just watch a YouTube video that points it all out and makes you feel really smart. Like, oh yeah, I could have gotten that too. That's why I like Rick and Morty, and that's why it's cracking the top four here.
Yeah, I got Family Guy for number four for me. Okay. Like you said, hitting the repeat, Seth MacFarlane's comedy is unmatched. he's just a genius. I that's all I can say. It's one of the best comedies ever. It will continue to be one of the best comedies ever, and I won't spend much more time on it besides that. What you got at number three?
My number three, I talked about a little bit, but SpongeBob.
As is mine.
Oh, there we go. So we can just have it freewheeling here. I feel like I've been starting and taking a lot of what you had to say, so I can let you go first this time.
No, yeah. I mean, there's not much to say that hasn't already been said about SpongeBob. All-time cartoon. Like we said at the top, once we heard that SpongeBob was considered a sitcom, like it's going on the list. It's awesome. There's so many episodes of SpongeBob. It's actually like unreal. Also another show that has been on for 20 plus years. So all in all, just a great watch there as well. What do you think you've got going for your number two?
My number two is kind of the new kid in town that recently wrapped. Well, not like a year ago. BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
Really unique in storyline and art style, just kind of everything about it was just a little bit out of left field. And I thought, I was like really hesitant to get started because I thought it was just, it looked stupid just like scrolling through it on Netflix. But then once I finally took the plunge, I'm so glad I did. I feel like every character sort of has a show long arc, which I think is really, really difficult to do, especially in animation, since we're talking about so many of these shows just seem to go on forever. You can't really have a character grow and start somewhere, grow and sort of end in a different place if you need the episodes to keep pumping out forever and ever. So yeah, I think just that growth is what really put it in the number two spot for me. What about you?
Number two for me, I've got F is for Family, Netflix, adult humored, I guess, again, you can call it a sitcom, starring Bill Burr. I love Bill Burr, one of my favorite comedians of today. I genuinely look forward to each season. I think they just announced that that the next season will be its last. Unfortunately, I hate to hear it, but yeah, dog. I love me some F is for Family. Real funny, real raunchy. Kind of gives you that classic sitcom like feel. It takes place in like the 70s, I think. Mm-hmm. So it just feels sitcom-y. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it. What you got for your number one sitcom animated?
Well, it's not only my number one animated sitcom, but it's actually my number one television program of all time. Futurama.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was kind of hinting at it earlier when talking about Rick and Morty. Just the animated science fiction angle. And it also, you know, is from Matt Groening from the Simpsons guy. So just sort of that really smart writing in kind of like a setting that I think allows him to sort of take more, not necessarily more risks, but sort of just like bigger swings, just going to all the different planets and just all the visual gags and the, there's some really classic episodes there as well. Like where are you familiar or not really?
Yeah, I've watched, it's another one of those where I've watched limited episodes, but know enough about it to know that it's quite funny. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Same animation style as The Simpsons. I dig it. Yeah. Futurama. Yeah. I just haven't watched enough of it to really give it that place on the list yet.
I gotcha. Yeah. No, there's just some really classic episodes like Jurassic Bark where he finds his fossilized dog and just some others that'd probably make me tear up if I thought about them. Like there's one where he's like living in the dream like of his mom from, it's really complicated like how it happens, but it's a tearjerker, man. But it's not just sad, it's also extremely hilarious. And I was glad that they were able to get their last season to wrap it up. It didn't have to just do four movies and call it a day. So
right.
Yeah. My number one of all time, Futurama. Wow.
Futurama.
Yep.
My number one of all time is BoJack Horseman.
Oh.
Love me some BoJack Horseman, man. Ever since the show came out way back when, 5 years ago or so, I have loved it. I love it. It's very deep, surprisingly, very mature, tackles some real world issues like addiction and absent parents, and but also like tackles like modern. It also like shows just how cringy modern day Hollywood is. And yeah, it's an absolute banger of a show. It's not super duper obvious humor. It's kind of like, it's not like F is for Family where the humor is like punchline in your face. BoJack is more like you got to think about it and you're like, ah, oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
It's not laugh out loud funny is what I guess I want to say, which could be taken good or bad, but yeah, BoJack Horseman, that's my number one as for our top 10 animated sitcoms.
And so what I'm hearing is we're going to have to do an episode by episode recap podcast of BoJack Horseman.
Can we call it PodJack Horseman?
Of course, we can call it whatever we want. BoJack, cool, man. Podman. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Before we wrap up, do you want to just give the people an insight about what we're currently binging on for television or whatnot? I can go ahead and go first if you'd like.
Yeah, lead us off.
So I have this list of shows that I want to watch. I don't know, there's no due date, they're just shows I want to watch in my phone. So those shows are Dexter, Raised by Wolves, Succession, Doom Patrol, Boardwalk Empire, Cobra Kai, The Big Bang Theory, Sherlock, The Sopranos, The White House Murders, The West Wing, South Park, The Simpsons, The Boys, and Hellstrom on Hulu just came out too. So out of all of those, currently I'm watching Outsider, I just finished The Haunting of Bly Manor. Review coming for that next week when Mitch is back. And then I decided that South Park is going to be my... I'm too tired to watch a full hour episode of Outsider or whatever drama I'm watching. So let's throw on a couple episodes of South Park before bed. And so far I watched the first one last night. Hilarious. Even though some of technically could watch any of them in any order, but I'm just going to start from the beginning and watch the animation gradually get better and better and better as the years go on. So,
yeah.
So currently I guess you can peg me as I'm watching Dexter whenever I feel like taking a break from whatever else, South Park and The Outsider. Since The Outsider isn't hot, we won't review that here, but I think after Outsider, I think Cobra Kai is going to be consumed. I have never seen Karate Kid. Believe it or not. Big one. So me and my roommates are going to watch Karate Kid at some point this week, and then we're all going to start the show. So those are the three pieces of programming that I'm currently consuming. What about you, Matt? What you got going on?
Nice. So my watching schedule's been a bit limited. I had some stuff to take care of this business, or I had some business to take care of this weekend involving a fair bit of driving. So I've been big into the podcast, and not just making them, listening to podcast and audiobook game. So I came to talk about a few of those. The podcast that I'm really digging now is called Dissect. It's a Spotify, it wasn't original, but he got acquired by them. So it's a music podcast that goes basically song by song of so far like sort of modern classic hip hop albums. So he started with To Pimp a Butterfly, then he did like a Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and right now he's mid-season on Childish Gambino's Because the Internet.
Is each episode a different song, or is each episode an album?
So each season is an album, and then each episode is like a song. And just the guy has he's a degree in like music theory, so he's like listens to the beat and then says, oh, it's like this chord progression, and classical music that's used to denotate this. So you can tell that like the story being told over the album is like taking this direction, and then he analyzes the lyrics and any sort of allusions that are made in it. I think my favorite season, if you just want to listen to one, is of Tyler the Creator's Flower Boy. It was an album that I didn't listen to until I heard that he was gonna dissect it. I never gave Tyler his due until I listened to it, and just does some crazy stuff and make some just has it all work in ways that just doesn't seem like it should, and just all these people are just on way different levels than any of us mere mortals, it seems like. So if you want to wait for each episode, I think they drop Tuesday, so I'm anxiously awaiting every Tuesday to listen to a little bit more about Because the Internet. And then an audiobook I've been listening to is maybe the reason why I was able to pull The Fault in Our Stars out of nowhere. It's from the author of that same book, John Green. I'm reading his most recent book, or listening to his most recent book, Turtles All the Way Down. Actually a big fan of it because it takes place right here where I'm at in Indianapolis, so there's references to things I'm like, oh, I know where you're talking about. He has to like explain all the geography of it. I'm like, oh, no, you don't. You're wasting your time. I know exactly where the corner of 86th and Ditch is. I know 465 is the road that goes all the way around the city. Come on, let's get into it. But it's interesting. It's about a girl who struggles with compulsive tendencies and sort of thought spirals. So just that, and while all that's going on, her friends wrapping her into help her gain $100,000 reward to help find a local billionaire who's vanished off the face of the earth. So yeah, a little bit different. Unfortunately, none of my two suggestions really quite fit with the what we are watching segment name, but that's just what I've been digging, the Dissect podcast and the Turtles All the Way Down audiobook.
Wow. Well, if you guys enjoy those kinds of things, well, then take Matt's recommendations there. I'm definitely going to check out the Dissect podcast now after this. So yeah, I think that's it for our what are we consuming or what are we watching. That's it for 143. Round of applause for Matt for running the show tonight.
Well, thank you, Logan. I learned from the best.
Oh, stop it. Quit you. So yeah, folks, follow the Instagrams. You can follow Matt and I personally, as well as the Binge Boys podcast. Remember that these episodes come out every Tuesday, as well as the run through coming out every, I think we're going twice a month. So for those of you who haven't listened, Matt made a reference to it earlier. Jurassic Park was the first one we did. That was all. So the run through is us taking a movie that's either a classic or just a movie that is either very much so relevant in pop culture, or maybe it's a movie that came out around the same time, or a movie that is celebrating an anniversary, or it's a movie that's related to a holiday. We've got a bunch of them coming up. The next one we're recording is based on 2013's The Conjuring, just in time for spooky season. I think it's going to drop the Thursday prior to Halloween. I think we're also doing for November. We've got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as one of them. That's a Thanksgiving-centric movie, as well as Twilight.
Oh.
And not to tease you even more, but December, I think we've got Elf and Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Jim Carrey version, of course. The greatest holiday movie of all time. I don't know about that. We could fight about that for hours. But anyway, guys, yeah, check out that programming. Check out the other stuff we've got going on. Maybe we've got some merch coming.
We'll see.
Ooh, I may or may not be wearing a shirt right now.
For those of you listening, Logan may or may not have been modeling in this audio-only medium.
Yes, in the audio-only medium, I am showing off my chest. But, yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. Shouts to Mitch. You suck. Just kidding, you don't suck. We're excited to have him back next week, as well as a co-star that's going to be there, too. I'm rambling. We're getting out of here. Bye, Matt.
Yeah.